out in Arcadia, California, getting ready to saddle 9 horses over the course of the 2 championship days. Defending Eclipse Award champion trainer Chad Brown. Chad, thanks for some time today here on Red Brand Radio.
Thanks for having me.
All right, 9 horses. Let's not keep you too long. I know you got plenty to do out there. It'll be feed time sooner rather than later with the 3-hour time difference. Let's go straight through them. We'll start off with Structor, undefeated in his 2 starts, took the Pilgrim. He'll try to give you your first win in the juvenile turf.
Yeah, he seems to be training well. He's drawn well and seems like a wide-open race. And I think he'll get a good account of himself.
That maiden race that he won came up kind of slow originally. They adjusted some of the figures. You feel like he was vindicated by the fact that he came back and ran so well last time in the Pilgrim?
I do. He seems to be an improving horse that's going to get better with experience and fitness. And he's coming into this race in really good shape. His last work in particular was strong.
All right. From a race you have not won yet to a race you have won a remarkable 5 times already, including your first Breeders' Cup win over 10 years ago with Marum, the Juvenile Fillies Turf. Last 3 have gone to the Chad Brown Barn selflessly, saddled with an outside post 13 in here. She had a big win in the Miss Grillo the day after Structor won. I know she only got beat less than a length in her debut. You don't often run the maiden against winners. She must have really showed you something in the maiden race where she ran second to try her against the winners last time in the stakes.
Yeah, we thought she should have won her maiden race. She was interfered with late in the race. Probably should have been put off. And so we just treated it like a win. And, so we just gave it a shot at Miss Grillo. And she ran to her training. She was trained particularly well for that race and really delivered.
13 hole bug you?
Yeah. I'm not happy with that draw at all. So Javier's going to have to work out a trip from there somehow. I'm still looking at the race, and I'll discuss it with him tomorrow about what our strategy will be. But, she'll work cut out for her from that post.
You know, I think this is something, and we'll try not to stray too much off topic, but, you know, you mentioned the post, and you're still looking at the race, and more often than not, you're given a Hall of Famer or a guy or gal that's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, a leg up on your horses. Will you take a lot of what they have to say into account, when a horse gets a draw that you're not happy with? Or, you know, obviously it's not, you can't really expect anything at the draw, but when you get saddled like a post like this, how much of Javier's input will you take into account?
Plenty. I try to use jockeys with experience, and like Javier, he's on our team of jockeys we use, and I trust them a lot. And it'll be discussion. And oftentimes I learn something from talking to my jockeys about, especially if they've ridden the horse before, and they might know other horses in the field, and we try to devise a plan. But I also know my horses very well. So I try to provide some input, especially if it's a challenging post or a big race. Just trying to encourage them, consider my input, having known the horses so well, what their tendencies are.
Talking with trainer Chad Brown, he's got 9 entered over the course of the 2-day world championships out at Santa Anita this weekend. All right, we'll turn a page from Friday, and the first one you're going to saddle Saturday is the defending champ, Sister Charlie. There's not much left to say about her. She is absolutely remarkable. You and I had talked in the summer. The one race she hadn't won that really means something to the filly and mares in America is the Flower Bowl. So you guys went ahead and ticked that box off the chart. What else can you say about her at this point?
She's just one of the all-time greats, I think, in this division. And she's been remarkably consistent, both in her training and her races. A real pleasure to train, and all class. So if she gets a clean trip, Saturday, I think she'll run real well.
Yeah, her draw seems to be fine. It doesn't really matter with her, does it? I mean, she just takes everything. she just takes everything in stride, no pun intended.
Yeah, she really does. She's and John Velasquez really gets along well with her, so I'm optimistic that she's going to run a big one.
You know, when you get a filly like Sister Charlie in the barn and she turns into, like you said, one of the all-time greats, I mean, and you've trained plenty of amazing, of course, Lady Eli is the first one that comes to mind, especially if you've been a fan in the last 10 years or so in the game. You don't use Johnny as often as some other guys. Do you take a look at Sister Charlie when she first comes in and say to yourself, you know, Johnny might fit her a little more? Is it just more luck than any luck of the draw than anything else?
A couple things went into that. When she first ran off the plane in the Belmont Oaks, he was available, and I talked her over with Ariana Peter Brandt, and he thought he'd be a good fit for the horse, and he's the sort of the best available, even though I may not use him as much. John Velasquez is some other trainers, I have enormous respect for him, and oftentimes it's not because I don't want to use him. He has a lot of business, too. You know, he's not always available, but when he is, we're always happy to have him. And then that relationship goes deeper because, you know, Mr. Brandt's very close with Angel Cordero, Johnny's agent, and it's always an easy fit to put him on one of his horses anyway. So it worked out well, and even though she didn't win that day, he really had a lot of positive things to say about her, and we let him keep the mount, and together they've done terrific, as you can see in her record.
Yeah, she's been remarkable. I went on. She's the best filly and mare I've ever seen on the turf. She just from a mile, you know, because people forget. I think that because she has all of these wins at the marathon distances, her Jenny Wiley at a mile and a 16th may have been her most impressive race to date when she won that back in 2018.
Yeah, I agree with you. She's very versatile to win from mile 16th to a mile and 3/8 last year. I mean, she's very versatile.
All right, to the mile we go. To a filly who might not be as versatile as Sister Charlie, but, man, she packs some punch in a mile. Good old Uni, 6-for-7 at the distance. The lone loss came in the 4-star Dave against Scott Stormy. It was a track record performance. They'll meet up again in the mile on Saturday. Supplemented into this now, the ownership group that owns Uni, I don't think anybody's going to have to raise any money for them anytime soon, but it's still a big number to supplement a mare against the boys in a race at you know, over a course that maybe she's up against it a little bit. But talk to me a little about Uni and her love for that mile distance.
Yeah, she's really found her niche as a miler, and she's got one of the best, you know, late quarter mile kicks that I've trained. She's right up there with any of the horses I've trained for her turn to foot and closing kick. I mean, she flies home when she's on her game, and she's been on her game lately.
And this isn't something you ordinarily do, the fillies and mares against the boys. So you must have an awful lot of confidence in that kick that you're talking about.
I do. In particular, this year's version of this race isn't as tough as I've seen in previous runnings of it. So I think it all makes sense to take a shot with Uni.
You have a horse in here that's 20-1 on the morning line. You're going to run for the first time. We haven't seen the horse in over 5 months. He's a former Grade 1 winner at Royal Ascot last year. His name is Without Parole. I, like every other handicapper, I thought I was being a little bit of a wise guy a couple of nights ago, and I found a horse that I'm going to use at the price. I'm using Without Parole. And then I look on Twitter and make a few phone calls, and if everybody who tells me they like this horse bets this horse, he might be 6-1 on Saturday. How long have you had him? How's he doing?
Yeah, I got him in August, beginning of August, I believe, and he came into me in really fine condition. And he's a pleasure to train, very straightforward, easy to go and call. And he's been holding good company with Bricks and Mortar lately, his morning work. So talked it over with the owners and John Atanya Gunther. And with limited options, getting a late start in the year of where we want to run him, this race was one of them if we could get in it. And we understand it's a tall order off a layoff, and there's certainly some things going against him. But he is a class horse that has a big career win under his belt, even if it was a year or so ago. And I tested him a bit with Bricks and Mortar, and he passed the test. I mean, he trained right with him the right way.
Talking with trainer Chad Brown. 9 horses this weekend in the Breeders' Cup World Championships. Just 2 of them will run on the dirt. Dunbar Road and Wildcat. Wildcat second in this event last year. The Distaff Dunbar Road trying the older fillies and mares again in stakes company. She has a win in an allowance contest at Belmont Park. Tried it in the spinster last time. Just kind of worked out a funky trip in that 5-horse field spinster last time, didn't she?
Yeah, a little close to the pace and on that dead rail there. It just was a bad, bad spot she found herself in. And I think Javier, once he was committed in there, he was stuck, and it just didn't work out for her. So it's horse racing, just draw a line through it, and she's come back and breezed really well twice for me, and it's coming in the race in fine shape.
And Wildcat always seems to get a piece. Nice check at her.
She is, and she had a tough trip last year in this race, and yeah, we could have won maybe with a better post. But, you know, she seems to be riding in the form. She had a nice race, solid race last time. It was second best. I like the way that she tried Midnight Beast to turn for home. Even though she got turned back, she really fought. I think she got a lot out of that race, and I think it's worth a shot again on a neutral racetrack. To take another shot, and I have a lot of respect for Minna Dicio, and if, you know, she runs the best race that she's capable of, then everybody's probably running for second. But, you know, it's nice, these Breeders' Cup races, and that's why you have to run them. We need her not to run her best race and our fillies to step up more, so that's what we're hoping for.
You will wrap up Saturday with Bricks and Mortar in the Breeders' Cup turf. He'll try a mile and a half for the first time. No surprise, you guys are trying something different with him here. The other option was the mile. He had already won going a mile. He'll try the mile and a half. With everything this horse has overcome, why not another couple of furlongs?
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what we figure as well. He's just a class horse and just a model of consistency. Remarkable campaign. He's looking to cap off here. You know, I thought a lot about which race to run him in, and the more the Breeders' Cup approach, it was more clear to me that the mile and a half was the better choice. And, you know, mind his draw, maybe stay a bit clear, and you know, hopefully he can handle distance.
Going the mile and a half, what do you do with him tactically? Do you give her out or any instructions? Do you try to lay a little bit closer? Do you think he'll just naturally be closer because the cadence figures to be slower than some of the mile and an eighth and mile and a quarter races he's accustomed to running in?
Yeah, the latter. I think he'll put himself where he wants to be. The horse is very tractable, and he'll probably naturally lay closer in this race.
You don't think the mile and a half will be a problem?
I don't. The way he's been training, it's become more and more clear to me, like I said, that he's not going to have a problem with a mile and a half.
If he wins the turf, you think he deserves Horse of the Year?
I do. I mean, we have to see what the other races do, and of course it sounds a bit biased, but the way I look at it is he, in all the relevant polls, it seems like he's been the leader, really, since fairly early in the season, and he hasn't lost, so, you know, it's hard to take that away from him when he hasn't lost, but there's a lot of great races this weekend, and he's got to go out there and do the job first and get it done, and then open up a probably interesting and fun discussion. So we'll have to see what happens.
Chad, thanks for some time today. I know you're busy. I'll let you get back to it. Best of luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me on the show. Take care.